All right, so we'll see. So we're continuing over here with closing Perek Yud Ches in Bilvavi. So we started last week speaking about this concept of Midas Hanikayon, and specifically focusing on the idea that everything we do for Pesach is actually a very important yisod. You know, so often we're preparing for Pesach, so we look for our preparation, and we look for our fulfillment in the Seder, in the actual Yomtiv, but we often fail to find meaning in the preparations. Meaning, for example, even just the cleaning for Pesach in and of itself, is something that has an incredible level of meaning and can, if understood correctly, provide an incredible hisodorus going into the Yomtiv. So the Mechaber here was speaking about the idea, okay, so obviously, especially this time of year, the major focus is on cleaning. That's the focus now, right? We're focusing on cleaning for Pesach. So what greater Musar Haskil is there in cleaning for Pesach? Meaning, what his odorous is there in this act of cleaning for Pesach? So again, we're actually going to pick up on page Resh Chaf Hey tonight. I included all this because you'll keep these sheets and we'll use this next week also, Meretz Hashem. But the first, we'll take a look, Resh Chaf Hey, the top. I did this last week, we'll review it again. So here's what's interesting, and this is so profound. Mechaber writes, if you think about it, very often the responsibilities that a man has when preparing the home for Pesach have nothing to do per se with chametz, but rather have to do with all of the other associated household things. I don't mean this, very rarely is a man cleaning the kitchen for Pesach. Okay, it might be the one who kashers, you know, but in terms of just the pratim of taking care of the home, very often those pratim are handled by the woman of the house. And again, he says, Elamai, so you could say, like, what's really a husband's involvement in preparing for Pesach? So Churi writes, Latov heyosa adam levado. It's good for a person not to be alone. Ve'etzlo avodas hanikayon naasis amanas lekayim mitzvas chesed im b'nei b'yisod. Let's say it's an incredible yisod. This is like, you know, very often, so a person wonders to themselves like this, you know, if I go ahead and I think about, I do my cost-benefit analysis. So on one hand, my wife may want me to do A, B, C, D, and E. So what's my reflexive reaction? No. My first reaction is, can't we get someone to do this?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Meaning, there must be a guy. Right? I'm big into outsource, right? Meaning, you know, who's going to say, maybe there's some call center, you know, Dell's, the people that aren't working. There must be someone I could outsource this to. Which, again, you know, there must be something. And again, not from a laziness perspective, but literally from the fact that, look, I know I have a certain amount of time. Any time that goes here is not going to go in other places. So would it not be better for me to delegate or outsource my responsibilities in the home towards another? So why doesn't that work? So, okay, there are many reasons why that doesn't work. But on a basic level, what the Mechaber posits is because if the Bnei HaBayis, if the household is engaged in something, you can't not be a part of it. Can't not be a part of it. Anything that the household does, by definition, every member of the household has to be a part of. So if the household is cleaning, if the household is preparing, then I have to find my chelik in that also. Now, it could be I'm not playing a dominant role. It could be I'm only playing a supporting role in it. That's fine, but there has to be a role. Tovios adlevados. So the Mechaber suggests that, interestingly enough, a couple of things. Number one, about the need to be involved in family. We'll say, we're looking for like the Musar Haskil in cleaning for Pesach. So what's the Musar Haskil in cleaning for Pesach? You have to be part of a mishpacha. And part of being part of a mishpacha means you have to participate even in the very unglorious parts of household living. I'm sorry? Moral support, right. Cheering up. You can do it. Right? That will come with many other unintended consequences. But it's an incredible yisod. That part of the yisod is, when the household is doing something, you have to be part of the family. Being part of a mishpacha means participating in things that you want to participate in, and participating in things that you don't want to participate in so much. So look at the next paragraph. Kilomar, It could very well be that what I'm doing, what I'm asked to do in the house, doesn't need me. Meaning it doesn't need to be uniquely me. I can go ahead and get someone else to do that as well. Rather, he says, "Ela ikar avodosohi la'asos nachas ruach l'sova v'moso." What's my job? My job is to be there for others. My job is to be their fathers. We'll say, he teaches us another lesson as well. Shem roim kein tachlis b'masa azeh, zoev shar sachas. So lesson number one, Musar Haskel number one in cleaning for Pesach, Abosai, is that it teaches us two lessons. Number one, what does it mean to be part of a mishpacha? What it means to be part of a mishpacha, Abosai, means to be involved in all of the details of the household. Now, it doesn't mean that a husband has to be involved in every single thing, a wife has to be involved. No, obviously there could be a division of responsibility, but there could be nothing that happens in my household that I am not at least involved in. Some things I'll be involved in more, some things I'll be involved in less. You know, let's say sometimes people make this mistake, and it's often husbands who make this mistake, where they say, you know what? My wife will handle that. And even the wife might say, fine, I'm happy to handle it. You know, don't worry about it. Part of being part of a mishpacha, Rabbi says, is that you have an involvement in everything. I might not be doing anything for this. Meaning, the details may be handled by another member of the household. But part of being part of a mishpacha is an involvement in those details, a knowledge in those details.
Could I ask on that? Why not say that involvement involves roles? In other words, I have a company. So everybody's involved in the company, but people have specific roles.
Correct.
Together we accomplish the entire task. Could it be defined like that?
1,000%. I take it even a step further. If you're running a company and everyone has the same role, right, your company's going to implode. Right? It's not going to work. Obviously, you need a division of responsibilities. See, he's not suggesting over here that we should all do the same thing in the household. What he's just suggesting is the nature of Pesach is such that everybody has a part. So what's the Musar HaSkil? Not the Musar HaSkil. That is, you have to be involved with your mishpacha. You have to be involved in the company. You could have your defined role, you could have your defined space, and your role may not necessarily require your input into every single thing, but even when there's not an active involvement, there has to be some level even of just passive involvement.
So is that based on the perception of the rest of the mishpacha? In other words, it's a subjective thing or is it an objective thing?
I think it's an objective thing. A person has to know what's happening in their mishpacha. And there's no such thing as a mishpacha initiative that you can't be a part of. Now, being a part of it might look different ways at different times. Sometimes being a part of it might be an active role. Sometimes being a part of it might be a passive role. But there's no such thing that can happen in my mishpacha without my involvement. But it's also something else. He also suggests over here that this idea also is yisod in chesed. It's also, you know, we often say this phrase, you know, chesed starts, you know, at home, which is very cliche. But this is incredible. So, you know, think about this for just a moment. You know, if someone were to call me up and they were to say, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, she's an almana, she has no one in her house, and Nebuch, there was flooding in her basement, her stuff got ruined, and she needs someone to clear out the basement. So any one of us would get a call like that, and what would we do? We'd run over to help out the Amona. What's the Shiloh? What's the question? But yet again, when it comes to cleaning out your own basement, right, so there's no excitement in that. I remember, you know, when we took the buses to Seagate. So I think I mentioned this once before. So I was like exciting. So I remember I got home that night, and to be very honest, I was expecting an incredible Yasher Koach from my family. You know, Mamish, I went out, you know, trudged through Mamish Drek. Like, so the worst thing Mamish, my wife said, is, wonderful, when are you getting started on our basement? Right? It's fantastic that you went to New York, it's beautiful. Yes, she's going to listen, it's good, it is part of my tshuva, part of my tshuva. It's an incredible yisod, how when you do it for someone else, meaning someone outside of your circle, it's chesed and it's exciting. When you do it for your own mishpacha, it's very unexciting. It's very unexciting. It's a task. It's no longer chesed, but it's not true. To help out in your household, that is a chesed. Meaning, to help out preparing a home for Pesach or for whatever else it will say, that is chesed. And it's just as big chesed as anything else. So what you're doing, the Mechaber says, is two things. Number one, you are being part of the mishpacha, which is exceptionally important. Number two, you're doing chesed in your home. And doing chesed in your home also sets a tone also for the other members of the household. Efshar Sashniya. What's the second possibility, second interpretation as to what the his orerus in this is? This is very beautiful. Hanefesh mitiv'ah Eina saveles es halichluch. We'll say the nefesh at its core, the neshama, the soul at its core, cannot tolerate any kind of uncleanliness. V'imechapeses nikayon. It requires, it's constantly searching out cleanliness. We'll say, I'll tell you just, there's a beautiful vart. I believe Yitzhak Abedicha brings down. He says on the pasuk, "Kol haneshama tahalel ka." So the Zohar writes, "I think kol haneshama tahalel ka." So bechol neshima uneshima tahalel ka. With every breath, you should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe writes so beautifully. What's the pshat of every breath? He says something amazing. He says, every single time a person exhales, the neshama yearns to get out of the body. The neshama yearns, and every single time a person exhales, the Ribono Shel Olam keeps the neshama inside the guf. And without the Ribono Shel Olam's insistence that the neshama remain in the body, the neshama would leap out at the first moment. Says the Rebbe, why is that? Because the neshama doesn't want to be here. Neshama doesn't want to be here. Why does the neshama want to be here? Because this is a world of lichluch. Because this is a world where there's a lot of beauty, an incredible amount of holiness, an incredible amount of kiddusha. But there's also a lot of lichluch. There's also a lot of uncleanliness. The neshama doesn't yearn to be in a place that's unclean. It doesn't want it. The Rosh Hashanah has to actively force the neshama to remain in place. So the Chaver says it's important to understand that the neshama at its core does not want lichluch. Kol Adam b'nafsho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yitbiya bo teva shenafsho doreshes nikayon. Every person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled with us in our nature, that the nefesh wants nikayon. It wants cleanliness. Ramat hanikayon, Mishtar min nefesh nefesh. Now both say, different neshamas, different nefashos, want different levels of cleanliness. You know, it's an important yisod. Not every neshama is the same. You know, we're learning this now. It's actually thanks to Reb Meir. This, in the mornings now in our shir before Daf Yomi, we're learning Gan HaEmuna of Shalom Arush. See, this is magnificent sefer. I'm sure you get the credit for it. So magnificent sefer. And he's discussing about this yisod, that not every neshama is the same. Not every neshama is the same, because one neshama might be a Gilgul. And if a neshama is a Gilgul, what it has to accomplish is something different than a first-time neshama. And some neshama is this expectation, that. Every neshama has a different level of expectations. So too, every neshama has a different level of desire for nikayon. Every neshama has a different level of desire, ultimately, again, for cleanliness. He says, there are some people for whom cleanliness is not so important. There are other people who are much more meticulous. Any little bit of cleanliness. We'll say, by the way, it's an incredible yisod. When a person is not clean, I mean, like in a physical fashion, when a person doesn't have certain hygienic standards, or a person is not, so we look, that is a pagam in the individual. So on a deeper level, why is that a pagam? Because there's some level of disconnect. Because on a ruchni level, the neshama yearns to cleanse. You know, say Rabbi Nachman writes about this. You know that everything that we have on a physical level, say it differently, the body takes the, the neshama is the command center of life. So the neshama dispatches messages to the guf all of the time. Sometimes the guf understands the messages as they are supposed to be. And sometimes the guf misinterprets them and kind of brings them down into a very gashmi message. So for example, why is it that people have a constant yearning for home? Right? Isn't it an amazing thing? You could be on the most wonderful vacation. Most wonderful vacation. But there comes a certain point in time when what? You just want to come home. I don't mean like on a family vacation where that happens like 2 hours in. Right? You know, they're like, oh my gosh, it's like another 4 days of this. Right? But again, I mean just even a person who had the most wonderful trip in the world. There comes a certain point in time where you want to go home. Now, I'll say it's work, it's this. Truth is, you know, work is no longer an excuse because you can work now from wherever you are. We do work wherever we are. There's a feeling inside that I want to get back home. So where does that feeling come from? So the Rabbi Nachman explains, he says so beautifully, he says, the neshama has a constant desire to go home. The neshama wants to constantly go back to the kisei hakavod. So what does the neshama do? The neshama dispatches a message to the guf for homesickness. I want to go home. So how does the guf interpret that message? The guf interprets that message by going back to the physical. I will say, by the way, you could, when you understand this yisod in life, so many of the wants and the desires that we have, for example, say one of the biggest yetzaharas that people contend with is yetzar for arayas, right? A yetzar for immorality. Why is that the biggest yetzahara in the world? Right? It's an interesting idea. Two biggest yetzaharas are arayas and money, right? Arayas and gashmius. Why are those the two biggest yetzaharas? You ever wonder about this? Like, how can I don't have a yetzahara for tarfus? I don't have a yitzhara for shatness. I don't have a yitzhara to be mechal Shabbos. I don't have a yitzhara. I mean, a person can think about it, but why is it? But yet, again, so taivas for arayas, taivas is ever present every single day. We have to fight against this every single moment. Why is it so strong? Taiva for gashmius. So you think about it. What is the taiva for arayas? I mean, think about this. If you understand that every desire we have doesn't begin with the guf. You see, this is a big misnomer. We think our desires begin with the body. They don't. Our desires begin with the neshama. So the neshama says, I desire. So what does the neshama desire? What does it desire? The neshama desires a close, intimate, passionate connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. So what does the neshama do? The neshama dispatches this message for the guf. Guf, help me acquire this burning, desirous, passionate relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Beautiful. There's only one problem, which is that by the time the guf filters that message, the guf filters it in a very physical way. So the guf filters that in a desire for connection, in a desire for passion, in a desire for some type of fulfillment, and the guf very often hijacks that entire ruchni desire and turns it into something that is just ridiculously impure and unholy. That, again, money. So I will say, so why is it that there's such a type of gashmius? Why is it a type of gashmius? So I will say, think about it. The neshama puts out a call for acquisitions. But what the neshama wants is tzedakah. What the neshama wants are chasadim. What the neshama wants are mitzvos. The guf gets a hold of that neshama, of that message, and the guf twists it around a little bit, and it becomes about acquisitions, but about all the wrong emphasis on acquisitions. So much of life is the ability to go ahead and try to get that undistilled is the wrong word, that uncorrupted message. Right? That uncorrupt, imagine if you could tap into that message from the neshama, the uncorrupted message of the neshama, and know what I'm really supposed to do, as opposed to getting the interpreted message from the neshama, which goes through the modicum of the guf, which then turns into something dramatically different. So we'll say, so this is the yisod as well. What he's saying over here, what's the message? What's the musar from cleaning? The musar from cleaning, I will say, is that the nefesh doesn't want lichluch. We don't like uncleanliness. We don't like disorder. What we crave for most in life is seder. What we desire most in life is nikiyos. We'll say, by the way, that's what you notice. Where do we see nikiyos? Where do we see nikiyos? Pinchas ben Yair. Mesilas Yisharim. Right? So nikiyos is one of the highest levels of spiritual aspiration. Because we'll say, what happens? That desire to keep a clean home really comes from what? What's the message? The message is the neshama's desire to keep a clean home as well. The bilvavi mishkan evna, right? That's the neshama's desire that I don't want the shmutz of averos. I don't want the shmutz of the missteps. I don't want to have the lichluch. Clean me. Take care of me. Purge me. So what happens? A person gets that message, and very often what that's translated into is a sense of seder, a sense of personal nikiyus, home nikiyus, which are all good things. There's actually one good interpretation. But sometimes I miss the point of the message. The real message ultimately was, keep a clean soul. I've interpreted that to keep a clean body. keep a clean attire, keep a clean home, but I've forgotten about cleaning the soul. So it's amazing. The Mechaber says when we clean for Pesach and there's such an emphasis on the kios, what that has to reinforce is it's not just the home that has to be clean. It's not just the person who has to be clean. The Bilvavi Mishkanaf and the Neshama has to be clean as well. And if there's some lichluch on that Neshama, there's no better time to take care of that than when I'm cleaning the home as well. But so that's just the one more paragraph and then we'll stop. Ha'afsharos Ashlishis. The third thing, and also we alluded to this. Sha'adam Oif Seder. A person loves order. Kalashana Kidarko Shal Olam Ish Lidarko Pana. Ava Pam Bishana Humis Yashev La'asos Seder Beveso Ubihatov. Hosai, this is another incredibly important yisod. There is nothing more important in life than Seder. Everything in life is about order. If you don't have order, you can't accomplish. If you don't have order, we know what happens when you don't have order. We'll say, doesn't this happen to us every single day? You make a plan for your day, and then what happens? I'm sure it happens to all of you. It happens, right? What happens? Well, you know what happens. You get in to the office, and you get in early. Everything's mapped out. What happens? One phone call, right? One phone call or one email. So here's the real test. So if a person is disciplined, so what they do is they take care of that matter, but they say, you know what? This is not the ikkar right now. I'll deal with it now for a couple of minutes, and then I'll deal with it later on, or I won't deal with it now at all. Or that email that came in, that's like an emergency. So first of all, it's not really an emergency. I have to have, if you don't have Seder, that thing, that one event, this happens to all of us, derails everything. And a whole day goes by, and I was working the whole day, but what did I accomplish? Not one thing that I wanted to accomplish. There has to be Seder in life. Seder says there are priorities. I begin my day with, what do I have to accomplish today? What are the things? You know, we all have different categories. What are the things that are important? What are the things that are most important? Things that afterwards are the least important. Say that's how a person has to live life. Without Seder, you could end up working very hard and doing a lot, but not accomplishing. What teaches us Seder? I will say, there is no better time to learn the art of Seder than pre-Pesach preparations. Because especially what happens this time of year, it's an amazing thing. I don't know about you, I need like a map to navigate my way around the house, right? Which closets are you permitted to open? What are you not permitted to open, right? The stuff that's been in this, right? All I want is a cup of coffee. All I want is a cup of coffee. But so now, where is the coffee, right? The kashla pesach coffee, the regular coffee, is the cured kasher, not kasher? Was sweet? Now we switched over, not switched over. What's been switched over? What hasn't been switched over? So what's like? But here's the amazing part. It's a heightened level of Seder. Meaning, it's a level of Seder she'in kamohu. Right? Baruch Hashem, very mesudra, everything is always, has an incredible Seder, but nothing is like this kind of Seder. Nothing is it. Meaning also, if you think about the Seder that goes on in most homes, so a lot of Jewish women, based on the Seder lesson, is that at the end of the day, you could only accomplish if there's Seder. At the end of the day, you could only accomplish if life is Masudr, if your goals are Masudr. So we'll stop over here for tonight. But we see, this is even before you get to the Seder, right? We're always focused on finding the meaning in Yachas, or in Karpas, and this. Forget about that. What about the weeks leading up to the Seder? What about the weeks leading up to all the cleaning? So we learned three incredible lessons. Number one, you have to be part of the Mishpacha. We have four lessons. You have to be part of the mishpacha. A person has to always be part of their mishpacha. There is no such thing as being a bystander. Even if, and Jordan's point is very important, even if you're not, you don't have to be actively involved in every single thing, but you have to be part of the team. Lesson number two, chesed starts at home. If the family is involved in something, you cannot be a bystander. You don't have to take as an active as a role. If the family is preparing for Pesach, you have to be involved in that. And even if your wife says, you know, go, it's all right. Go, right, do what you have to do, right? It's okay, we have it all covered, just leave, I'll take care of it. No, person has to be involved because chesed starts at home. Lesson number two is ultimately, again, the neshama doesn't want lichluch. Cleaning for Pesach teaches us, Rabbi said, that we have to not only address the lichluch in the home, but this is the time as I'm cleaning out my physical home to address the internal lichluch as well. What's in a state of disrepair? What's miluchlach? What's a bit dirty? What's a bit disorganized? And what could I do to clean up not just the external home, but the internal home as well? And finally, again, person loves Seder. There's nothing more important in life than Seder. These days, I will say, when everything is about Seder, it's about schedule of cleaning, it's about organization of this, about organization of that, teaches us, I will say, that this midah is not just important for preparing for Pesach, but this midah is important for succeeding in life. It's only if we have Seder that we can arrange for ourselves, establish for ourselves goals. It's only if we have Seder that we could structure for ourselves days. It's only if we have Seder that we can make for ourselves finish lines and aspirations and be sure that in Yeretz Hashem one day we'll cross them. All right, so stop over here. Let Yeretz Hashem continue here next week. I don't think it has to be that way. I think that I would say no. Because there are